SBS Radio.
It's 7:30 in the morning on a school day and 9-year-old Nukrapley is waking up to a television show about numbers and letters. He likes the shapes of the numbers and letters. So much so that outside his house on a wall marked Nukrapley wall for fun, the full alphabet is perfectly written out in chalk. Luke is nonverbal because of severe developmental delay, which also affects his sensory and motor skills. Holding and eating is difficult, and the reverberating environment makes him feel uncomfortable. Sean Ropley explained his hopes for his son.
Our goals for Luke is actually be like everyone else and have grow into an adult where he's got connections and friendships, and he's learnt social skills through his peers and the like.
Parents Sean and Rita sought to achieve that by sending Luke to the same mainstream school as his older sister, but were told his needs were considered too hard to accommodate.
Their reasoning was the fencing was inadequate, and that their argument was the special school was more inclusive because they had a wider range of students with a disability there. So I thought, great. But at that point in time, we weren't going to fight that, we've just gone along with that for now.
As a signatory to the United Nations Rights of Persons with Disabilities, Australia is required to provide a non-discriminatory, inclusive education to all children. Under federal funding arrangements, additional money is available for schools to accommodate students with disabilities. Discrimination is also illegal, but schools can deny admissions if it causes unjustifiable hardships. Luke Rapley's father, Sean, was disappointed when he was told his son could not be accepted into the local mainstream school.
We've got many battles as a family, and that was so it was just very disappointing to hear that they were resistant to that as an option for pretty, I think, inadequate reason as well.
A 2017 survey conducted by the organisation that represents children and young people with disability, CIDA, found 12% of children with a disability had been denied a place in a mainstream school, with many left to consider segregated or special schools. David Armstrong is an inclusive education researcher at RMIT in Melbourne. He told SBS that it can be a complicated situation for parents.
Most teachers, most people working in education have goodwill and want inclusion to work. The nitty-gritty of how that happens is more problematic, and this is where teachers and schools need our support. They need support from parents, from school leaders, from people working in education, the education systems at state level and at federal level. And also key, we need messages from politicians around positive messages about inclusion.
The Australian Education Union has backed the work special schools do, but the organisation's president, Corina Haythorpe, points to federal funding cuts that also put a strain on resources in mainstream schools that can affect decisions made by parents.
Look, we have many incredible special schools right across the country that are working very hard to cater for students with disabilities, but we also have students with disabilities in mainstream schooling. And I think, really, it's a decision of parents and families based on the child's needs about where they want their child to go in terms of school. When schools don't have the resources, it can be very, very difficult to provide the physical equipment or the teaching and learning staff that are needed to cater for a child's education. We don't believe that that is a positive situation.
A Federal Education Department spokesperson says on average, funding for students with disability will grow by 4.8% each year between 2018 and 2029. Under the current model, teachers use their professional judgment, supported by evidence, to determine what level of funding loading to be provided to students. But Kathy Colligan, an inclusive education researcher from Sydney's Macquarie University, says that while there is an option to exclude students on the basis of disability, a truly inclusive education model will be made more difficult to achieve.
All of us, what we want for our children, we want our children to be happy. We want to know that they are able to learn to be safe and to flourish. And if you know that in the education setting of your choice, your child isn't actually welcome, they're not having the opportunity to belong, to participate, for their contribution to be recognised, then your choice is taken away. You don't really have that choice anymore. Inclusive education is one small part of inclusion in society. And if we want to have an inclusive society where each person can have genuine opportunities throughout their lives, and where it's even possible for a person to make the contribution that they have to offer, and then again for that contribution to be recognised, then we do need to change attitudes.
And that lesson can start at a young age in an inclusive education setting, according to Mr. Armstrong.
There are social, psychological and intellectual advantages for having children with disabilities included in a mainstream classroom, and those advantages are not just for them, but also for their peers who don't have a disability.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.